For the time being, we're trying to answer as many questions as possible to do with, now we're looking at anxiety in children. And also we've been discussing, you know, really how lucky we are to be in this region where there's a lot of different cultures and societies mixed into one. And one of the things I absolutely love to see is how many children there are around at night, especially, you know, we're coming up to Ramadan and we're going to see a lot more of that. Dave says, I've never seen as many infants and young children out at night and later with their parents than in Dubai. Why is this? I was saying, I think this is a combination of, obviously, the heat is a big effect in this region. I think generally the culture is, you know, that you need to be out when it's cooler. I wouldn't like to be out with my kids, you know, during the day when it's burning hot and the sun shining too much. And yeah. In the winter, yeah, but in the summer. And Ramadan as well, the day tends to turn to night a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
That's a good point. Yeah.
One of the questions that I had for you is depression.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find clinical depression in children?
Interesting question. When you're looking at sort of some of the symptoms of depression, according to the American Academy of Child Psychiatry, this child is constantly sort of bored, low energy, you know, sort of a decreased sense of their interest in activities. One of the biggest things, lowest self-esteem, guilt. They have very, very difficult relationships. They're extremely sensitive to rejection or any kind of failure. But, you know, frequently absent from school, sometimes could have suicidal thoughts. One of the biggest things, again, to consider is their developmental bracket. So children who are younger than 5, who seem to be depressed or sad all the time, are actually reflecting the mental state of the caregiver, the primary caregiver. Because then this is so much of an influence the parent is having on the actual child's state of mind. It's when they're a little bit older and you start to see these persistent signs. They can't just be for a short period of time. It sort of has to be for longer periods of time that you start to begin to wonder, can I, as a parent, examine exactly what's going on in their lives in a deeper way? But below the age of 5, it's pretty much just reflecting the mother or the father's state.
It's a real worry to think how many things children will start to show because it's a reflective of what's happening in the parent's life.
Absolutely.
Is there ways to be able to recognize as a parent symptoms that you're actually passing on to your child?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it also depends on your parenting style. If you have this overly anxious, everything bad is going to happen before anything good comes out of this type of approach, that same thing is going to get filtered down to your children's thought patterns, their habits, their behaviors. They're constantly living on the edge, wondering when something bad is going to happen. Mm. And again, the vocabulary, the mannerisms are all coming from the actual parent. So before you go off on a tangent and say, wow, my child is just always sad and depressed and, you know, feeling lonely, is this something I'm reflecting as a parent? Am I sending off some kind of signals that say it's okay to feel like this all the time? And it's these subtle messages, if you can sort of be a little bit more in tune as a parent, will give you some indication of where the source of depression or the source of anxiety is coming from in the actual child.
When do you think children start to develop a sense of, for instance, loneliness? You know, when do they realize that you can be with other people and interact with other children?
So, you know, according to, again, developmental psychologists, when children have passed past this pre-operational stage, they're now going into the concrete operational stage. This is pretty much 6 till about 11. They're obsessed with making friends. Mm-hmm. They are sort of, my friends are people in my neighborhood, people that I have close contact with, people that I share common interests with. They want to sort of be really great at math. They want to be really great at school. They want to be really competent in their areas of development. And according to Erickson, he developed a theory of psychosocial stages, and he said if the child is not able to approach this phase of their life with a sense of competence, they feel a sense of inferiority. And this inferiority could turn into what looks like loneliness at the same time, because they haven't forged the relationships that they need to be at this developmental bracket. This is, you know, you won't get sort of a child below the age of six saying, I'm really lonely, I don't have any friends. You'll much more hear that of a 7 to 11-year-old.
When do you find that children are most anxious in their development?
I think when they're going through transitions. So it's first day of school, something externally, mom and dad having problems, new child coming into the family. This is pretty much when they're going to be showing their most level, the highest levels of anxiety. And it's how parents respond and get them through some of these big transitions that will prepare the child to get over that anxiety. If the parent can provide some kind of consistency, routine, and predictability, you know, just so that the child can then transition and know exactly what to expect, or at least roundabout what to expect, the child faces this transition with so much more confidence and ease.
How important is it for children to have their fears talked about or spoken, you know, talked through with their parents?
Yeah, very, very important. You know, oftentimes the parent is the only person that the child can reach out to. So instead of a parent responding to a child and saying, what a silly fear, terrible thing to do, to belittle them, criticize or reject and not acknowledge, the most important thing is to acknowledge, I can see how you're scared of this, or I can see why this is a fear for you. What can we do together? What can I do to help you as a parent? You know, what specifically are you scared about? And try to challenge these perhaps irrational type of thinking, only because they don't have the cognitive maturity of an adult. This is why their fears become very real. They're in that realm of what's real, what's imagined, what's fantasy, what's real life. So they are very, very allowed to sort of mix these two things up, but it's the parent's role to try and tease these apart.
Let's have a look at some of them that you suggested then. First day of school. It's one of those things that your parents will tell you about your first day at school, and whether you know, I left you and you cried at the gate and I couldn't leave you, or you didn't even pay attention, you just ran off. Again, I suppose that's reflective of the way that the parents are feeling. But what's the best way of dealing with your child, for instance, it's approaching their first day at school? Because it's summer now, there's going to be a lot of parents out there who have kids who are about to start school for the first time.
Very good question. I've often recommended this to parents, and it's worked really, really well, is setting up a storybook, especially for sort of preschoolers, a storybook that has pictures, some kind of representations of exactly what to expect on their first day. So what the teacher is going to look like, what their classroom's going to look like, picture of holding mommy or daddy's hand as they're walking into the school. Again, you know, what the classroom looks like, what kind of activities they're going to be doing there. Start those activities at home. You know they're going to be putting strings of beads together. Do that at home so that they have a little bit more familiarity with some of the activities that take place there. And at the end of that first day, what's that special treat? Whether it's ice cream or it's a day at the beach that they have to look forward to, take a picture of that. Include it in that storybook. And the idea is read the story to them multiple times.
Yeah.
So on their first day, they know exactly what to expect. You know, even if it's just 90%, 80% spot on, they know exactly what to expect out of their first day. And they're just so much more prepared.
Exciting. We've got a message in from Aaron saying, sounds so familiar. I'm a primary school principal. Parents do come to me saying that their six-year-old is depressed or anxious because they don't like their teacher at the beginning of the year and they're worried about going to school. But actually 95% of it at the time is that it's the parent who's anxious, or the parent who's worried about the teacher. Very interesting that that teachers see this themselves. So some of the other anxieties, very quickly, new baby syndrome, what to do with a child, you know, how to approach the subject of you're going to be a brother or a sister, or you're going to have a new brother or sister.
So similar to the way in which you can set up something like this for the first day, it's getting them to be involved involved in this process of adjusting to this new sibling. So, you know, if you're going to go off and do a room and buy furniture, buy them clothes for this new sibling, get them involved. Get the child to choose what clothes they want their sibling to be wearing.
Oh, no.
You know, this idea is give them a little bit of control in the process. And whilst you're at it, also talk to them about the advantages of being the older sibling. So you're going to have later bedtimes. You know, they're not going to be allowed to eat ice cream, but you're going to be allowed to eat ice cream. You get so much more food, for example. This idea is trying to get them to differentiate in their heads. I'm older. These are my privileges. You know, my sibling is younger. They can't get anything that they want.
Yeah.
So constantly try to play those against each other is a good way.
Slightly worried about the clothes choosing. You can just imagine.
Yeah. Picking
out. You really think your sister should be wearing that blue, you know,
polka dot.
Yeah. Blue range, Power Rangers top. Okay then, for an age 7.
Sure, yeah.
Listen, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been absolutely lovely to work with you. Hopefully we'll see you again next Wednesday.
Next week, yep.
And we'll be going on to B, C and D. It's good job I know my
alphabet.
It's better than my numbers.